now I love to proclaim it. Reading by the blood of the Lamb, reading through His infinite mercy, His child forever I am.
that maybe this problems that we have will come to an end.
Amen.
That we can all live in peace and Amen. Tranquility once again. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us and bless us and keep us safe and out of harm's way. And we pray for the leaders and for the caretakers of this nation, that you will always be with us and keep us safe and out of harm's way. We pray for the leaders again. We ask you that you comfort them and give them the wisdom that they need. Go with us now to the rest of this service and to the rest of our life. This is our prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 283.
Jesus, keep me near for the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mountain.
I want to add a little something to the spiritual reading that we had with the physical part of Jesus on the cross. I was watching Counterpoint, and they were talking about how people hate to go over 30 minutes with sermons. And B.J. Clark made a comparison. He said, if we take the time that we meet on Sundays for church and Wednesday night, that it's not nearly as long as Jesus hung on the cross. He hung there for 6 hours. For us. So as we partake of this communion today, it's a spiritual thing to do, to examine ourselves, but to remember our Christ that spent those 6 hours for us. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, thanking you, Father, for the love that you had for us, your creation, and that you sent your Son into the world to die upon a cruel cross, not because of him, but because of our sins. As we partake of this loaf, Father, help us to go back in our minds to that cross, and partake of this bread that reminds us of the body, and Father, help us to examine ourselves, partake of it in a manner be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
We continue our thanks to Heavenly Father for this cup, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed upon the cross that day. Again, Father, help us to partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Communion with the Lord is completed. We now have an opportunity to give back so the church can continue its work here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings you give us every day. And Father, we have an opportune time now to give back to you so that your work can continue on here, not only in this place, but even throughout the world. Help us to give with a cheerful heart. May it be acceptable to you. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
We have 24 present this morning. Today is June 14th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 678. 678 will be a song of invitation after our lesson. And then once you've marked that, let's turn to number 191. 191.
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care.
We got back to our Bible study chapter of Psalms 119 this morning, and we got some verses done in that particular chapter about the Word of God as it is described by King David in regard to the leadership of the Word of God. We did not get to this particular verse, however, a verse that is so cited and so noted to us in Psalms 119, verse 114. It is said regarding, "Thou art my dwelling place, thou art my shield, and I will hope in thy word." He said, "I will hope in thy word." He goes on to say in Psalms 119, verse 116, "Uphold me with that word, and I may not be ashamed of thy hope." The hope in the Word of God directed to our lives is so stated by Paul later on in Romans chapter 8 and down at verse 14 when he says regarding this matter, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why would we hope for something that we do not see?" The idea of seeing something and being there, it makes it our sight. Makes it our understanding of reality. But hope is still not seen. It is something that is promised, it is hoped for, and is there, available, and we anticipate that we go forward and receive it. As a result, it's a motivation on our part that we're people who follow the ways of God, follow His will, as the Lord set forth His word for us. The hope of a soul is the idea of God's teaching for us. God did not wish to be present in our daily walk of life, seen that way as He walked His plan and His teaching. He wanted people, Old and New Testaments alike, to more and more follow His word that was spoken to them by way of the prophets that He sent, by way of the Son that He sent, by way of the apostles that He sent. As a result of their word being the word of the Father, the hope was expressed in the ideas of the Word of God being directed for the people's lives. And so God wanted that to be the case. Our Lord Jesus talked about that in Mark chapter 2. in reference to the man who was brought to the household. It was so filled with people that the men who brought him could not get the man sick with palsy inside. So they went up on the roof of the house. They fixed there an opening where they could let him down by way of his bed. They could let him down to the presence of Jesus. Jesus pushed the others back and noted to them that he had not seen such great faith as was demonstrated there by them, and that he noted to this man that his sins would be forgiven him and that he could stand and walk. He understood the people standing around there, though. He understood that they were very seriously critical of Jesus. Who can forgive sins but God alone, they said to themselves. And this man is not God. Jesus is not God. They misunderstood, of course. Jesus said to them, understanding what they were thinking and had not yet spoken out loud, Jesus said to them, listen, which is easier to say to this man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, I say unto the sick of palsy, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. Obviously, their minds were just overwhelmed by this. I hope a number of these people were believers in him, as they should have been. Because now Jesus said, listen, it's not just saying it to be so. It's the power to do that I have. And I'm thankful for that opportunity to be. We hoped for several weeks of time, and we got finally long enough ladders and everything along the way that Brother Bill and Brother James up here could last Sunday get up this way and correct a speaker system that's up that way that was hanging down by one of the lines of the chains that were there. And also to add more light. There's more light shining on me this morning on this Bible than there have been in a long time. Hoping that it would occur, brought about an action on the part of two brethren to work with together so that it might be done. It was a hope that was fulfilled. Now, we don't hope for the good light now, but we have it available to us. It's obvious that it's here. Same thing is true in regard to a toilet system in the ladies' bathroom that was just nothing but leaking water. Walked in one day a couple of weeks ago, and there was water everywhere. I mean, all over the floor. I ran back to get a mop, brought it back up, and along the way, J.H. Myers was here visiting at the time. And so he walked in, and he looked at it and watched, and he said, you know, I believe it's this seal underneath. He said, now if the seal is replaced and it still leaks, he said it's a matter of the enamel of this particular commode system that needs to be replaced altogether. And so last week, guess what? Travis and Tom worked together in a particular part of it, and the hope has been realized. When you have hope in something and you have people instructed about it, and the need is expressed and understood, then you have appreciation for the physical things that are around you, much less the spiritual things. And when we talk about the spiritual things, that's what David was saying back there in Psalms 119 at verse 114. He said, you will keep me. You will hold on to me. You will lift me up. You will protect me. I'll hope in your word. When you promise me a certain thing, I believe your word will be fulfilled. And as a result of that, he's saying, you'll uphold me with your word, and as a result, I will not become ashamed of that word. Can we become ashamed that some promises are made and not fulfilled? Sure we can. We've all had the experience of having someone along the way, perhaps, to come to our house to fix something on the telephone promise. I have a good man down in Batesville, Mississippi, that he said if he called that place again and talked to them, He said, I would be disappointed. He said, it's now 5 years later and I have not seen the person to do the repair show up yet. Well, he was assured by the person on the other end of the line that I'll tell this individual will come out and he'll fix your problem. But he never showed up, never was there. Let me ask you something. When promises are made by you and me, do we feel like that they don't have to be ashamed of the word that we have spoken? Because we'll fulfill that word. We'll carry out that promise. We'll do it to the best of our ability. Or is it the case that we'll save so many business activities underway that we forget our promise made just as quickly as it is word said? We just don't know. We've got things going on, a lot of things happening. And as a result of that, sure, I'll be there. I'll be there. You can promise you. You can count on me. But you can't count on that person. You can't count on their promise. And it's something of which you be ashamed. The word ashamed means the idea of hiding one's face. And that's what happens when we see that individual again. And that individual may be reminded by your very presence. And they hide their face. They don't want to be, of all people I wanted to see here in the grocery store today, I didn't need to see you. My promise was not kept. It was not fulfilled. It was not. As a result, hope can be a shameful situation. We can have a hope in God's will. And David said, I won't be ashamed of the word that you speak. Because God's word is true. God's word's accurate. Helped him with the giant Goliath. Helped him with the day-to-day struggles of life that he faced. Helped him to be a person who was in the Lord and in his right way doing and living out that hope in his word. When Paul writes there in Romans 8 and 24, we are saved by hope. Is it the case that we have that hope in God's word? Do we find ourselves being ashamed of something that we've misunderstood in God's word? If in fact we have taken God's word and not applied it as it is given there, as a result, finding ourselves looking perhaps to people being told to lead a prayer, say a prayer for your salvation, when in fact the prayer that was being said by Saul of Tarsus there in Acts 22 was told to stop by the gospel preacher who came to him and said to him, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As a result of that time of his being baptized into Christ, Paul later on in Romans 6 will write regarding that baptism into Christ, just like the brethren there at Rome that were baptized. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with him by baptism into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are raised up from the waters of baptism to walk in a newness of life. He goes on to describe that vividly throughout that chapter. And in chapter 6, verse 18, he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When were they made free from sin? When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered them. As a result of that form of doctrine, we have a hope. When I went to be immersed into Christ Jesus, I found myself in a hope of coming up. That as I was coming up, I was raised to walk in a newness of life. What if we're walking in that newness of life and we mess up? We slip up. We don't say the right things or do the right things as we go along through life. John writes in regard to that matter in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do we have a hope that we can be restored to the Lord? Yes. These people are people who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. 1 John 1 verses 5 and 6. as they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, they can be people who confess their sins. He's faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. You see, the unrighteousness comes before the actions of sin. We think about it. We read about it. We see pictures and drawings about it. We have the ideas about it in mind. It's unrighteous thinking, unrighteous actions or planning. And ultimately, that unrighteousness becomes an act of deed, an act of activity. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, our missing the mark, our deeds, and to cleanse us also from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from the way that we were thinking. When we begin to think about Him in His right way, we become people who are free from those things of the past and free from those things of sin and free from the thinking of it being a rewarding and wonderful and beneficial thing. We find ourselves going away from God. We find ourselves forgetting about Him. But we find ourselves coming back as we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He goes on in 1 John chapter 2 to say, my little children. John says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you do not sin. Plan to not sin. Let it be a surprise to you that that temptation has befallen you once again so severe and so great that you yielded to that way of life. Little children, I write these things to you that you do not sin. But if any man sin, remember we have an advocate to the Father. We've got a lawyer, an advocate to the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus Christ, through righteousness. He did not yield to sin as He was here upon this earth. And so as a result, He found Himself in the position of being the righteous one. And God recognized His Son into what He's doing. We appreciate the work that God has done and His Son has done and give us hope. Hope by which we can be saved. But not yet see Him. When we do not see Him, does that matter that our faith itself in God's Word being promised is not there? Or is it a hope that we have in experiencing and ideals of what we're anticipating will come about? Let's anticipate with a great hope of the soul as we live in that way for the Lord's sake. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And if you would, read with me beginning at verse number 5. And you'll see the ideals about what happens with hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we came into Christ, as Paul wrote there in Romans 6, baptized into Christ, we became new. And that's the idea here. He's referring back to it. And he's saying, hath raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where, by the way, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. All spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessing of prayer, being heard by prayer, the spiritual blessings of salvation, the spiritual blessings of hope are furnished in Christ. Thus we find ourselves in Him. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time ye were without God, Christ, being aliens for the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off, having no hope, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the old law of the Old Testament time, the animal sacrifice, and all that sort of thing, are done away with. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now let's go forth in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Jews and Gentiles alike were taught the same message of peace. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. These people that had no hope at all found themselves with great hope in Christ as they came into him, the wonderful blessing that came to be a part of their decision making in life. Do we have anyone subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? All things are ready, and we trust that you will come forward. Confess your faith in Christ as did the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. Philip went down into the water with him and baptized him into Christ. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was called away by the Spirit of God to go to Azotus and continue to preach the word of the Lord to the people there. What a blessing it is to have the hope of God in our lives, by which David says, I don't have to be ashamed. The word of God is going to come to pass. It's true. And the word by which these people in Ephesians 2 were made in peace with God in Christ. So the song of invitation provided, if you come, if we stand together. Jesus, keep me strong. I'll be satisfied as I walk near your close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Distance from one another and everything. And maybe it'll be the ways that we go for good. We sure wish you the best. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 o'clock. Our men's meeting comes up after service tonight, and perhaps we'll meet that way and get some information in regard to something over the last several weeks of time. God bless you.
Number 446. 446.
Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.